mission through, but you have a Savior who is ever present in times of need. Can we just give Jesus praise today in this place? I love it. I will be honest with you. There have been times over the course of 2000. Anybody else just done with 2019? Like, I just quit on it a while back. Anybody else just quit once holidays hit? You quit worrying about what you wore, what you ate like, what you look like. All right, holidays just come and they go. And I'm done with 2019. And I'm ready to go into 2020. And the reason is because there have been moments, maybe for you too, that in 2019 I never wanted to move forward. I thought that this was it. I thought 2019 was it. What's the point of moving forward if life is going to be as painful as it has been? Why do I want to continue pushing through? Why do I want to plow in mud and make bricks with no straw? Why do I want to continue doing what I'm doing? And today I hope and I pray that we can together explore a very old text found in the book of Deuteronomy that will hopefully give you a sense of purpose as you leave here. 2020, here we come. Else made resolutions to lose weight, to get back in shape. I made them every year now. I don't even know why I make them anymore. All right, it's just pointless. I'm going to be a better husband. No, I'm not. I'm going to be a better dad. I try. I fail. My resolution this year was summed up in three ways, and I'll give you this little formula I made. And you know, I've spoken for 3 years now of how I'm going to get back into that Marine Corps shape that I used to be in, and hoorah, and all this jazz, and it hasn't happened yet. But maybe 2020, I will see. You know, 2020 is a vision number, a 2020 vision. Maybe this year I will see things come to pass. But this year, I'll give you a little formula. I made three resolutions, and I call it my up and out. This is a little formula, up and out. I make one upward resolution for 2020. And then I made one resolution to handle within myself. Y'all, I got a lot of issues. But I think if I can tackle one thing at a time over the course of my life, I might just be all right towards the end of this thing. And then I have one outward resolution that I want to truly put into practice when it comes to my outward relationships with not just my wife, but this is applied to every relationship. So if you're wondering, well, what should I do next year? What are my resolutions? You can try to save money, but things go up next year. You can try to spend less, but Amazon Prime is from the devil, and it's going to suck your money out. All right, I'm just telling you. But if you can make three resolutions, one in your upward relationship, one in your inward, and one in your outward relationships, it may be a little bit easier to maintain. But today I want to read something in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. And this is a particular, it's kind of like a speech that Moses gives to the people. And he's given it to the people not long before they walk into the promised land that had been promised for them for hundreds of years now, dating all the way back to Abraham, that he was going to be the father of a great nation, and God was going to lead him into the land that he would be the great nation in and they would possess. But he was also told in that promise, but your descendants, they will be enslaved for over 400 years. In which we know the account of the enslaved Israelites in the land of Egypt and how the 10 plagues came and God finally, through the 10 plagues and the hardening of Pharaoh's heart and through Moses and his brother Aaron, Moses and his brother day after day would go and plead with Pharaoh. Finally, after Pharaoh's own firstborn son was killed, he said, you just go. And then after he left, he was like a wife in menopause. He changed his mind a second, and he was in a fury. And he went chasing after the Israelites. And I'm just kidding. My wife's not there yet, so I don't know yet. I've just heard things. And in a second, he changed his mind, and him and his best soldiers, they got in their fastest chariots, and they went to chase the Israelites down. And we know the story of them getting to the sea, and they have no way to get through it. And God opened up the sea, so they walked through on dry ground. Well, then we also know that as they were on their way to the promised land that God had given them for hundreds of years, that they were going to possess and own, and he instructed Moses to send 12 spies. You all remember this story, right? He sent 12 spies to spy out the land. 12 of those spies went. They checked things out. They brought a couple of souvenirs back, and they gave a report. 10 of them said, there is no way we can do this. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. There is no way. They're much bigger than us, much stronger than us. There is no way we can do it. Yet Joshua and his companion Caleb said, yeah, we can do it. Because if God has promised us this land, then we can do it. Well, they ended up wandering for 40 years in what is known as the wilderness. And we're kind of on the verge of the next generation that was born and raised up in the wilderness as they are almost to take possession of this land. And we know that Moses will eventually die at 120 years old, and his successor, Joshua, will be the one to lead the people across the Jordan and into the promised land, and the walls of Jericho will come tumbling down. And they will fight and defend this land, and that is where we're at. He is preparing the people to reach a place that they have never seen or been in, and he is ensuring that they are prepared for that step. And the reason I want to read this text is because I believe, and I hope, and I have the faith to believe that I am, my wife is, and my children are, and this church is about to step into something that we have not seen, but we must first be prepared. In order for you and I to reach new places, we must first be prepared. So let's together read Deuteronomy chapter 30. If you brought your Bible or if you charged it last night, join me there. And this is what the Bible says. And when all these things come upon you, this is Moses talking, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God has driven you, and return to the Lord your God, you and your children, and obey his voice in all that I command you today. With all your heart and with all your soul, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have mercy on you, and he will gather you again from all the peoples where the Lord your God has scattered you. In your outcasts are the uttermost parts of heaven. From there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will take you. And the Lord your God will bring you into the land that your fathers possessed, that you may possess it. And he will make you more prosperous and numerous than your fathers. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring, so that you will love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul, that you may live. And the Lord your God will put all these curses on your foes and enemies who persecuted you. And you shall again obey the voice of the Lord and shall keep all his commandments that I command you today. The Lord your God will make you abundantly prosperous in all the work of your hand, in the fruit of your womb, and in the fruit of your cattle, and in the fruit of your ground. For the Lord your God will take delight in prospering you as he took delight in your fathers. When you obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes that are written in this book of the law, when you turn to the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul. For this commandment that I command you today is not too hard for you, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend to heaven for us and bring to us that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you can do it. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord, your God, that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if you turn your heart, if your heart turns away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live. Loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, for he is your life and the length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. And I'm not here to tell you that God's going to prosper you in such a way that you're going to have so much money this year, you're not going to know what to do with it. If you don't know what to do with it, you can always call me. All right, I will just say that. But I'm not going to say that he's going to prosper you in those ways as he did here, because he was establishing his people. He had to prosper them with wealth, possession, and power in order to establish them and to develop them. But I will tell you that if you want to reach new places in 2020, then you must be prepared. Because I don't know about you, I hate being stuck in the same old thing. Anybody else that way? I hate using the words, I'm just going to do it this way because I've always done it this way. Those are often referred to as the famous last words of any successful organization or person. I just do it this way because I've always done it this way. And I'm hoping to move into 2020, and I want to experience new things in my marriage, with my kids, and in my ministry. I don't know about you, but I get excited to think of what 2020 could hold and what people could come to faith in Christ. I look forward to 2020 and think what people have not truly surrendered themselves completely to Jesus Christ as Lord, and what people are going to be being dipped in our baptistry, what marriages are going to be restored, what broken hearts are going to be repaired, what children are now going to feel and experience the love of God through and from us as a church. I get excited about that stuff. I get excited to see who's going to respond to the gospel message of Jesus Christ and their lives be changed forever. And when it comes to home, I have a five-year-old that's going to be six next month, a three-year-old that's going to be 16 next month, I mean, four next month, and a soon-to-be one-year-old next month. And I want to see in them things that I've never seen in them. I want to see them develop over the course of 2020 into a greater image and reflection of their mother, who is, in my opinion, the greatest Christian example that my kids could have. That's what I hope they start to grow into. I hope that their hearts start to increase in love and mercy and grace towards people. I hope that they start to obey their parents as it is right in the Lord. And I hope and I pray that I can be an example for them of what a godly husband and man should be. I've always said it, that is my greatest challenge as a father, is to show them what they should not look for, to show them, to be an example. And I don't know about you, but I just want to know, would you join me in declaring today that 2020 is going to be better than 2019 as a church, that we're going to serve people in a greater way, that we're going to wrap our arms around people in a greater way. But here's something that we have to understand. God was using Moses to give this speech, this address, this State of the Union speech before they went into the Promised Land. And what I want you to understand is this. We all have a calling in life, right? Everyone has a calling. You have gifts and you have abilities. Well, one thing that I've heard for years now, and one thing that I truly have to understand in my own life, and in order to truly fulfill my calling and live out my calling, is this, that your character must match your calling. Your character must match your calling. So if my calling is to preach the gospel and to pastor people and to point them in the right direction, then my character must also reflect that. So I don't know what God has called you to do or what gifts he has given you and abilities he has gifted you with, but your character must match your calling. And what happens is sometimes we will put our calling on a pedestal and our character will lack. But in order to truly live in, walk in the blessings of the Lord, we must first live in obedience. We must live in obedience. Think about Father Abraham. As he was called by God to leave his people and to go into the land that he was going to show him, Abraham had no idea where he was going. He just obeyed the command of the Lord and started to walk. And it wasn't for a while until he started to see the promises of God revealed to him. And maybe you really don't know what God's wanting you to do. Well, here's what I will tell you to do. Do something. Do something. Serve in the church. Serve outside of the church. Take the church to people. Share the gospel of Jesus Christ with your friends, with your family, with your coworker who is broken and who is in need. Wrap your arms around someone who has not felt loved in months or even years. Be a listening ear rather than a running mouth. Don't hit your wife like that, Scott. But seriously, be a listening ear to someone who needs to get things off of their chest and out of their mind. Be the hands that prepare something for someone who has no way to prepare it for themselves. If you have no idea what to do, I would just tell you, do something. Draw it out of a hat. But what you will find is that the more that you start to obey the words and the way of the Lord, the more and more that he reveals to you. And here we are in 2019, getting ready to go into 2020. And I've always kind of cherished this last service of the year. Because everybody's just kind of like, they quit on life in 2019. They don't really care what I say because they're just ready to go to next year. And they're just not really listening. They're probably still sleeping from all the Christmas traveling and all the in-laws they had to see and deal with. And they're just done. They're ready. But I've always cherished the last service because I've always used it as a time to hopefully, prayerfully, prepare you and motivate you for the next year. Because as Americans, we operate by the calendar year. But I will tell you this, is that God is not sitting up there thinking, phew, Christmas is over. I got a few days off. Like we do. He's not thinking, well, I will bless them, but not until January 1st. Or I will use them, but not until January 1st. Or I will forgive them, but not until January 1st. He doesn't operate how we operate. Some of us are just quit on things and people until next year. But he is still wanting to use you and work through you and do things through you and in your home and in your family and reveal things to you even today. So what is, I've always kind of tried to give the church a word for the year. And I would think that in 2020, it would be really cliche to give you the word see. Because 2020, I got good vision, I see. I got 2020 vision. That would have been lazy on my part because I Googled things like that and they showed those to me. But I want to give you a word for 2020, and this is the word stretch. The word stretch. And you don't have to write this down. You don't even have to remember it later. But I want us to truly build our year on this word of stretched. And the reason I say that is I want to be stretched in 2020 in ways that I've never been stretched before. Because here's what's sometimes very dangerous, even in a church like us, how we celebrate on a weekly basis. Anybody enjoy coming to church? You can be honest here. If you don't enjoy it, just keep your hand down. But if you enjoy it, just raise your hand. Okay, so a lot of you enjoy coming to church, and I thank you for that. And a lot of you, does anybody like to sing songs and worship and all that and praise God through worship and song? I do too. And for 3 years now, I've asked to be on the worship team. And for 3 years, they continue to mute my mics and tell me no. And one of these days, I'm just going to get fed up. And I'm just going to do it. And I'm going to get up there, and I'm going to show them how it's done. And I thank God for our worship team. And everybody like to hear the word of God and live the word of God, to study in life group and all those things. Well, here's what can be very dangerous in our position. We can get so comfortable in what we're doing that we will miss out on what God wants to do next. We get so comfortable. Man, it's easy. I remember when we used to come in here and didn't know if anyone was going to show up. After I preached a time or two, people would just, they could just left. And now we've got people parking people. We had two services last week, and things are, you know, we've built some momentum, it seems like, as a church, and we're able to give generously more to people in our community and people in our church, and we're able to serve more, and we're able to do more. And it's just a wonderful time to come in here. You all sing loud and have a great time. But I'm telling you, it can be very, very dangerous where we're at if we do not keep our eyes up and moving forward. So I'm going to challenge you all to join me in this year to see just how God may stretch you, just how God may call you out of your comfort zone for the first time, just how God may use you in a new way to reach someone that you thought someone else would take care of. Because it can be very, very dangerous, even for me, because I could come in here and I could get familiar with you and we could build a relationship. And the more that you start to like me outside the church, the more that you might just deal with my preaching, whether it's good or whether it's bad, and everything's just comfortable. Everything's just easy. You know, we know each other outside, and I'll go to your meat market, and I'll go to the restaurant, and we'll go have some good times, and we'll go to a ball game together, and all these things are great. But if we ever grow comfortable, we'll experience what they experienced as they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. I would imagine that when Moses was giving this decree before they went into the promised land, some of the people were like, what's he running his mouth about now? He's been telling us this for 40 years, and we've yet to see anything happen. So over time, they probably just grew comfortable and complacent in where they were, and they had no expectations of where God was actually going to lead them to next, and could also be true for you and me. You could grow comfortable in just coming in here and sitting in here and receiving on a weekly basis that you get so comfortable you have no expectation or even no interest into going from consumer to contributor in ministry. Because I'm just going to tell you, there are people in this church that are gifted in many ways. And maybe you've been sitting on those gifts for weeks now, for months now, maybe even for years now. Maybe there are people in this community or where you live or in your school district or in your workplace that truly need someone to build them up in their faith and in their walk with Jesus Christ. And for months now or even years now, you've expected everyone else to do it. And God has gifted you and planted you right there to be the one. So how could God stretch you in 2020? How could God call you or convict you or encourage you or equip you to step out of your comfort zone in 2020? And I posted it in our church Facebook group, not on the public page or even on my profile. The question I posted was, have you taken the time to ask God how he can use you and what he can do in you and through you in 2020? Have you taken the time to really sit back and think to yourself, how may God be desiring to use me this year for the advancement of his gospel? Because I'm telling you, and I hope that you never fall into this trap of comfortability and complacency, but it can be so dangerous even for me to come in and prepare a 25-minute, 30-minute sermon. Some of y'all would much have the 25 or less, but it can be so dangerous for me to just get comfortable and have a merry day, and we'll go to the steakhouse together, and everything's going to be good. And those things are fine and dandy, but if we never push ourselves or stretch ourselves to see what exactly God may be wanting to do in us next, then we'll never walk into the blessings that God has before us. So here's two things I want you to take for 2020 as a church. I want this not to be our mission statement for the year or vision statement for the year, but I want you to consider these two things, and I'll explain them briefly before we close up. I want us in 2020 to truly consider building attendance, but also, and maybe even more importantly at times, building attendees. Because here's what brings God glory. When disciples are made, it brings God glory. Here's something else that brings God glory: when stronger disciples are made. So not only do we want to build the attendance and we want more people to come because, you know, I don't want people to think that I'm only worried about the numbers, but here's the deal. When we are concerned about the numbers, then we will ensure that we are truly considering the fact that as the church grows in attendance, that's more opportunities for the gospel to be preached, and that's more opportunities for marriages to be restored, and that's greater opportunities for kids to feel and experience the love of God through us as a church. But if that's our only concern, then we'll miss the second part of building attendees. Because we don't want you to just come in here and be entertained for a little bit and then have nothing to apply for your life. Like, we make it an emphasis on a weekly basis to lead you in a way that you can take something from here, apply it to your life, and then grow stronger in your faith. One time somebody told me, "Your church just doesn't give me the feels that other churches do." And I, sometimes I fall short and I sin. And I sarcastically replied, "I'm just glad I'm not preaching to give you a good feeling, but preaching so that you can have something to apply to your life and live eternally with your Savior Jesus Christ." This is why we do it, to build you up in your faith. This is why we prepare. This is why we take things into consideration. This is why we truly are sometimes very intentional about certain things and the order of this and the order of that, so that when you leave here on a weekly basis, you have something to apply to that week and then forever. Because I never, ever, ever want to get into a position where I just come and you just come because it's all good. I want it to be good. I want it to be good. That's why I don't sing. I want it to be good. I'm concerned about you and your experience here. Because if I did sing, you would find the other 2,900 churches in Potosi and try one of those out. I am concerned about your experience here. But more importantly, I'm concerned about your experience when you leave this place. Because we are the world's greatest husbands in a church pew. Let's just be real here. We're the most and the world's greatest wives sitting in a church pew. We're the greatest parents and children sitting in a church pew. But when life gets real and tempers flare, or our patience runs thin, or things are said to us or about us, that's where I'm concerned about. I want you to be the image of Christ more there than you are in here. I want you to be the reflection of Jesus' hands and feet when you go to your workplace, just as much and more than you are here. I don't preach so people can come and be entertained and are attracted to this place. I hope and I pray to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and His word, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And it is by His word that things happen. It is by His word that your life is changed. It is by His love that you experience and you see new life. So here, let me just leave it to you with this. We want to be concerned about building attendance, but also, and maybe even more importantly, building the attendees that we have. We don't want to just do one and not the other. We want to do both. But in this particular text I read to you, it says, "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in His ways, and by keeping His commandments and His statutes and His rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you." And I told you earlier, to walk in God's blessing, we must live in obedience. To see God's hand at work in us and through us, we must fully surrender our hearts. And to reach new places in our faith and in our journey, we must be prepared. So what is this preparation? To be prepared for what God is going to do in you and through you next, it all roots back to where you're positioned. As Moses said, if your heart's turned away, you'll start focusing on and worshiping other gods, whether that be money, your popularity, your image, reputation, and on and on and on. But where are you positioned at today? Where are you positioned at right now? Not just, I'm sitting in the church pew. No, no, no. I'm talking your spirituality. Where are you positioned today? Because it all roots back to your position. And in order to walk in God's promise, we must be positioned correctly. And here's the deal. All this text that I read is simply God calling you back to Him. To see greater things in 2020, you must grow closer and closer to Him. To reach new heights in 2020, your walk and your journey with Jesus Christ must reach new depths. You cannot sustain today on yesterday's strength. And today's strength will not sustain you for tomorrow. God is constantly calling you to something or someone new and to do more and to serve Him greater and to bring Him glory. But if you have no interest in truly surrendering your heart completely to Him and positioning yourself at His feet, then you could expect not to live in and walk in the blessing of the Lord. So Moses said, see, I give you life and good, and I give you death and evil. Where are you going to be positioned at today? And he says, one is life and good, and it's simply found by loving the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, by obeying His word. And you can choose death and evil by living 2020 how you want, how you desire. These are my goals and what I have to accomplish. And all the while keeping you out of the promises that God has for you. So today, I just want to simply know where you're positioned at. Are you in the good and life camp, or are you in the evil and death camp? Have you fully surrendered yourself to Him as Lord and submitted to His kingship? Or are you continuing to do things on your own? In 2020, yes, you have the motivation up front, but in the scheme of things, on your own, it will end up like every other year has. So today, as you leave here, yes, we're concerned about growing attendance, building attendees. Yes, we're wanting to walk into new places in 2020. I want to see new things and greater things, but none of those things will happen if I am not properly positioned in my relationship with Jesus Christ, my Lord. Let's pray.